Thank you, Penny. Pray with me. Dear God, it is with grateful hearts that we have entered your gates this morning. May we continue to be in awe of the things you do, things you have done, the things you are doing, the things you will do in the lives of your people. And may we stand as testament to a faith that endures to all generations. Lord, on this day, I ask that you prepare our hearts and minds, not only to hear your word, but to experience your word, to be in the presence of the holy in a way that changes us on this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. We offer them in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 100 is said to have been sung as the people of God approached God's temple for worship. As they made their way toward the temple, they raised their voices in song. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. One can imagine the chorus getting louder as the people ascend to the temple and the crowds grow larger. When this song was sung in Jerusalem, at a pilgrimage feast, some of the worshipers had traveled long distances on foot for many days to finally arrive in Jerusalem at the temple on that feast day for which they had come. Their hearts pour forth gratitude not only for the culmination of a long, hard journey, but now they're in the streets of Jerusalem with throngs of people, thousands of worshipers. The streets were filled with jubilant songs of praise and thanksgiving. The sound attracted others to join the procession, and crowds grew until they reached the temple gates. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his holy name. This Sunday, on this day, we have come together not only in God's church, but as God's church to give God praise and thanksgiving for all with which we have been blessed, even to this day. In the U.S., Thanksgiving was first observed as a harvest feast in 1621, 298 years ago this Thursday. These pilgrims in a new land celebrated as an expression of gratitude for having survived their first year in the new land. The relationship they had established with the Native American people that they had encountered and the harvest of crops that they had been helped to plant and the prosperity they hoped to realize out of their faithfulness to God. After worship this morning, we will gather in the fellowship hall for a great feast, not unlike the Thanksgiving feast first observed. Like that first Thanksgiving, many folks have made small contributions to create a great meal. Guests have been invited to share in the food that has been gathered. We will express our gratitude to God for all that God has done to make this feast possible, and we will do so with gladness in our hearts. Our observance of Thanksgiving brings forth attitudes, the same attitudes of humility, gratitude, and generosity that have been present in God's people for centuries, for all the generations, the scripture says. I see this psalm in four stanzas, two sets of lyrics, each containing a phrase for what and a phrase for why. Each stanza says that we are doing this thing because of that thing. Hear these words again. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. That's the what. Why? Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. This idea of knowing God, knowing that God is God and is more than cerebral. It's more than an understanding of who God is. Knowing God in the way that is intended here is a deep kind of knowing that penetrates our being far beyond our intellect. This kind of knowing penetrates our hearts, our very souls. It lives in the very core of who we are. And this knowing that God is God, that God has made us and chosen us, that God cares about and for us, and as a shepherd cares for the sheep, this is enough to elicit parading through the streets and singing choruses of joyful praise. If God did nothing else for us than simply bring us into being and shepherd us and care for us and love us, that is enough to elicit parades in the streets. The second two stanzas, the what? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Why? For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Worship has always been more about coming together to give to the Lord than about what we're coming to receive and what the Lord has to offer us. As God's people approached the temple, they were coming to express their gratitude, to give God thanks, to praise God for being God, simply for being God. And God's enduring love and faithfulness have always been enough to elicit thanks and praise. Our gathering here today is a testament to God's enduring love and faithfulness to all generations. If a generation spans about 25 years and the Psalms were written around 1000 BC, we are gathering to give thanks and praise on this day something like 121 generations later and counting. God's love and faithfulness endure forever. God's love and faithfulness will endure forever, ever, in spite of us. We get to participate in this stream of generosity, in this grateful praise that has rung from God's people for all time. And it's a privilege. Now, I was a little busy getting ready for worship just prior to the service, but I didn't notice throngs of people parading through the streets toward the church this morning. Anybody else? I didn't hear loud rejoicing in the hallways of this building as we were approaching the starting time of our worship service. Anybody else? That just isn't the way we do things anymore, but there is value in the practice of shouting to the Lord, inviting all the inhabitants of the earth to join in. Worshiping the Lord with gladness and coming before the Lord with joyful songs. There is value. This outward expression of jubilant praise, at the very least, gets the attention of those around us. When it is born out of genuine adoration and affection for God, it attracts others to seek the same. You know, in the church today, we are clamoring and beating our heads up about who's not here. We wring our hands because the church is withering. The church is going away. It's partly because we're not parading through the streets and shouting loud praises for God. People, we're not getting people's attention. How many of you have had something good given to you this morning from the Lord? Yeah, every hand better go up because you're all breathing. Right? How many of you testified to that on the way to worship or in worship or said to someone, I'm blessed to be out of bed this morning. Amen. I'm blessed to be in this place. I'm blessed to be called of the Lord to convene, to come together as God's church and worship and praise. And that's blessing enough in itself. Yeah, we need to learn to shout joyful praise, to bring attention to that cross up there, to tell people that we are here because, why? Because Jesus saved us. Jesus changed our lives. Jesus makes us whole. Jesus takes these broken human beings and he puts us back together, and then he puts us together in one room. God help us. and then lavishes us with love and grace and mercy. I'm always a little emotional, right? In a minute, I'm going to ask Janet to come up here, and we're going to have things to just to praise God for, and to lift our voices together in praise as a congregation. We have things to celebrate in this place. And those high, high emotions, they make me emotional. I get all excited. And on this morning, a family who's friends of ours, more than one family who are friends of ours, are grieving deep losses. And I just want to read to you a Facebook post. This is God's writing this sermon, not me. I'm going to read you a Facebook post from the mother of the young woman, Caitlin's friend, who passed away yesterday. I looked at Roshan this morning, and they go to Jackson Free Methodist Church, and I would bet my last dollar, if I were a betting man, that they are in church together as a family today. It's the kind of people they are. But I want you to hear this post from her. This is what I was reading this morning. Wow, God, you are so amazing, and why am I even surprised? Between all of the many messages I have spent all morning reading and then reading this, wow, my heart is full and feeling blessed beyond what I could ever have imagined. Thank you, God, says this grieving mother. I trust you, God, says this grieving mother. I love you, God, and your ways are higher than my own. M's story for your glory. And this is a devotion that God gave her this morning. You can't read it. Receive joyfully and thankfully the blessings I shower on you, but do not cling to them. Hold them loosely, ready to release them back to me. At the same time, I want you to enjoy fully the good things I give you. The best way to do this is to live in the present, refusing to worry about tomorrow. Today is the time to delight in the blessings that I have provided. Since you don't know what tomorrow will bring, make the most of what you have today. Family, friends, talents, possessions, and look for opportunities to be a blessing to others. When I remove from you something or someone you treasure, it's healthy to grieve your loss. It's also important to draw closer to me during this time. Cling to me, beloved, for your relationship with me will never be taken away from you. Let me be your rock in whom you take refuge. Often, I provide unexpected new blessings to comfort you and lead you forward. Be on the lookout for all that I have for you. Based on Matthew 6:34. Yeah. This mother's devotion, the day after she laid her daughter, she gave her daughter back to God. The posts from the whole family were full of praise and thanksgiving for having even lived one moment with this beautiful girl. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter his courts with praise in all things. God is What?
Thanks to the living God.
Amen. Thanks to the living God. Right? Even in the worst of this woman's grief, God is providing for her this bountiful blessing of promise for what is to come. And she has the guts to put it on social media for anyone and everyone to see it and read it. Why? Because she testifies to the goodness of God in her life in every season. Amen. That's what we're called to do, right? Now I want to invite Janet up here because we got some testifying to do. We do. This week, you may have gotten an email from the church that said, now God's up to something. Or now God's gone and done it. Right? On Monday evening, the ad council was together in one room, and there are many, many people responsible for this work in this place. And I won't name any because I'm afraid I won't name them all. So just know that there's tremendous work being done for God and with God in this congregation, in this place, and in this time. On Monday evening, we gathered as an administrative council, and we voted in the first board of directors of the Trinity Community Development, Inc., right? We are forming a new nonprofit to do work out of the Trinity Community Center, all kinds of work. We plan to do some work in housing. We plan to do some work in community development. We're looking at offering the possibility of a fresh market. They're doing a lot of things that we plan to do out of that place. And God is making this happen. In the same week, on Friday at 11 o'clock, we met at the RE/MAX office, Gary McNeese, myself, and Dean, with a very, very happy Mizo congregation, and we signed the papers and closed on the sale of the Birchwood facility. Yeah, right. Which, in the same week. Keep track of what all God's doing in the same week, right? In the same week. So on Friday we put the proceeds from that sale in the bank so that we can do the work that we just talked about. Some of that work looks like what Janet's experiencing at Trinity, and I'll have her share some of the things that are already happening at the Trinity Community Center.
Yahoo, indeed. Yeah, so we've been leaning into all of this since we merged a year and a half ago, and I just wrote my article for the Voice of the Hill, and I had to call it the last merger update ever, because the closing of Birchwood is our last intention in that we hadn't realized. The Trinity transition has been going on for a year and a few months, and life is just being born and formed there. Last year in October, November, we had about two groups meeting there. Now there are about 15. In January, we'll realize kind of this goal of having something happening in that building every day of the week, which is crazy. Amazing. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And what is beautiful in that over time is it's not just about the building being used, although that is fabulous. It's about relationships being formed. People now come to things that I recognize. The kids know I'm Pastor Janet. There are families that come again and again to things there. We had some beautiful moments in a listening session where a congregant reached out to a young woman who was struggling and offered her something of her own heart. So it's not about the place, although the place is important and a blessing that we just continue to develop, but it's about the work that God continues to do there. And we've had dozens of you come and be part of the back to school fair and the summer party and trunk or treat. And we have a community dinner coming up on December 6th that you're all invited to be a part of. So God keeps creating, and we just keep watching and experiencing and feeling that blessing of being a part of God's creation in this thing that we dreamed together.
So just a few moments about what happened at the closing. I've been at real estate closings before. I purchased a couple of homes myself, there are usually lots of papers, lots of signing, and there was all of that. But before we ever signed a single paper, I had a minute to talk to the Mizo congregation folks who were there and tell them how grateful we were that we were able to wait on God for this transaction to come to fruition. We weren't in a hurry, God wasn't in a hurry, and God made it happen just as God would have it happen. In the same week that we vote the board of directors, we close on the sale of the building. Right? Their expression of gratitude for our patience and their ability to purchase this place that they can call home was beautiful. They extended all of you who have a heart for that place to come and worship with them on any day, that they would love to have you because your home is now their home and it's always been God's home and it continues in that way. We prayed together, first me in English and then Lal in Mizo, Burmese, and it was beautiful. And all of that was done before we ever signed a document. The looks on the title company official's face and the commercial realtor that was sitting on my left and the bank officer that was sitting across the table, they were all bewildered at all of that God was doing in this place of official business. And it was beautiful. When we finished, Kara, our commercial realtor, stood up, she had to leave quickly. And she said, she shook my hand and she said, "This is the best closing I have ever attended in my life." Right? Through, praise God indeed, through their ability to purchase that building, they are participating in the reallocation of God's assets in this community, and we will include them every time we celebrate a new ministry. We will let them know that they continue to help make that happen in this place. We're in community together. We are in ministry together in this place, and we have so much to celebrate in the same week. We just happen to have a combined service scheduled at 10:30 on Sunday morning with a big potluck to follow on the same week that we formed the nonprofit, that we sold the building at Trinity, at Birchwood, and we come together in one worship service so that we can celebrate together. God is definitely up to something in this place. Yeah. Right, we use a term called kindergarten happy, right? This is something to be kindergarten happy about. And what does that term mean? That means you tell people like you're five. Like no one's ever heard it before. But God, you know what happened this week?
No, what happened?
What happened? We formed a new nonprofit and we sold a building to make the proceeds available to do this great ministry. That's cool. And then you go to someone else and you say, "You know what happened this week?" Like she'd never heard it before. Kindergarten happy. Kelsey and Roshan work with kindergartners, and she said, Roshan said, "You probably tell the same person four times before you go to the next person." Kindergarten happy. Testify to God's goodness. Enter his courts with praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart because God is up to something amazing in this place. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.